Yeah, we do appreciate, as busy as Pat is, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Pat, it's always a very interesting show when you're with us. But I might say that in addition to the Gators and inside information there, Pat, I think, is very well known around the SEC as a whole and nationally as the college sports writers of fame. So, Pat, we're glad to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm sorry, I'm standing outside here and there's an ambulance going by, so it's kind of hard to hear. Get up, go. All right, now they're gone. Now they're gone.
Okay, I got it. All right. Well, listen, I want to frame a couple of the first questions here to come up. Florida, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I may be totally off base, but and I give Bowman and that staff credit, the offensive staff credit for doing a heck of a job. As I look at Florida's year last year, they could have easily gone into that the SEC championship game undefeated. Also, Texas A&M and LSU, either one probably should have. I think you can use that. Should have gone the Gators' way. Some real good ball games, and then of course they played Alabama out the door. I mean, I thought Florida played exceptionally well. Alabama's losing a ton. There's no doubt about it through attrition, graduation, and whatever. But Florida's also, I think, losing quite a bit, Pat, quite a bit. Because as I see the football team last year, I was very disappointed defensively. They played worse than they have since Mullen has been there. They played worse on defense than they have been playing. And had they not had had Kyle Trask, the quarterback, had a system for him to throw the football, they didn't run the ball that well. They couldn't play defense. The quarterback took them through the season well on his back. Now, granted, he had two outstanding receivers, other than that, I mean, I really think a heck of a lot of the burden went there. Now they're going to be losing all of those three, I think. They're going to be losing to the NFL this year, and I think all three will become starters there. How do you see them changing their system or making up the difference for that loss? Because it's going to mean a difference in system as well.
Well, they're going to have to be a different team, but they won't be they're not going to just give up on the passing game. I mean, they're going to continue to throw the ball. I mean, Dan Mullen knows how to get guys open. And certainly when you lose a guy like Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask and some of the other, Kadarius Toney, where you could just throw them bubble screens and get big yards, that was a huge advantage. And, it's unfortunate that it was the year where nobody played defense. I mean, everybody was bad at defense. You know, the leading team in the country in defense was Army, and that's because they kept the ball all the time. So that's just the way it was with COVID and the whole nobody could hit. Everybody was afraid to hit because if you hit and you lost a guy a couple guys to COVID testing and then you lost a couple guys to injury, now all of a sudden your defense is down four guys. And so everybody was afraid of that. So nobody played. I mean, Alabama was terrible on defense. Probably the worst defense I've seen in Alabama in a long time. And you saw Florida go up and down the field on. But this is going to be a totally different year. It's going to be a different year because guys are able to practice and able to do things. And I think there's some addition by subtraction in the secondary for Florida. But I don't really blame those guys who didn't play well, whether, Marco Wilson or whoever. I think they just all had a hard time playing well on defense, like all over the country. So Florida this year on offense is going to be a team that will run it a little bit more. And their quarterback will run it a lot more than the quarterback last year. But they're not going to be a team that's just a ground and pound. They're still going to throw the ball. That's where Emory Jones has to keep getting better this summer. You've got to bring, you know, drag guys out there to the practice field and throw the ball and get the timing down. From what I've been told, he had good days and bad days in the spring, but he's got a whole long summer, and of course, Florida having their spring early to make sure they could get a spring in will actually help in those terms, and that they can really work. He knows the play. I mean, he's been here long enough. He knows what plays are running. He knows what they like to do. He's just got to do a better job of it. If he can do that, you know, they've got a slew of running backs. It's amazing how many running backs they have. They get 2 5-stars now in the backfield. I don't know if they're going to how good they are, because we haven't seen them really do much. But, you know, and Bowman and Lingard. And then you add in Damian Pierce and Malik Davis, who are good players. We've seen how good a player. Malik Davis is a leading returning receiver. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I still think this all comes down to how well the offensive line plays. And it's been a while since they've had a really good offensive line.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the decision not to have a spring game, I thought, was a little different. You'd certainly like to, especially the young kids, the older guys, you have an idea that the ones that have played in games against other teams, but for the ones that you wanted to see in a game-type situation and to make decisions on, the spring game is valuable in that way.
Hey, spring games are worthless. Spring games are for the fans. They had a long scrimmage on their last practice that was it probably more effective than the spring game. And the reason they didn't have the spring game is because the stadium is full of people getting vaccinated. So I applaud them for that. And that's a decision they made. And I know that Dan was happy with it, because nobody wants to play a spring game. You just do it for the fans. So I'm not worried about that aspect of it. I think they had the scrimmages they want. They had the practices they want. So I think they'll be fine as far as that goes.
Well, that's certainly understandable, and that's a valid point you bring up. I understand that. Let's jump to the quarterback situation here quickly. Of course, you've got the Emory Jones, who everybody feels is going to be their starter, but they've got another guy that they plan on using quite a bit, this Anthony Richards. Big guy, 6'4", 230 pounds. Why do you feel about their quarterback situation? And also add in the fact I just heard the other day about the young man who is kidnapped, Jalen Kitten, who's the son of the former NFL quarterback.
Yeah, you know, one thing that Mullen talked about was how important it was to get Anthony Richardson ready, because I think once you went through what the whole Kyle Trask taking over for Felipe when he got hurt, that kind of changed the dynamic of how you approach things. You better have two guys ready, and Florida did that year. I mean, Kyle Trask was prepared. So now they're getting Anthony Richardson ready to be the starter, assuming that something happens, you know. So I think it's a good philosophy to have two guys ready rather than just one. Like, you know how it is in the NFL, Kate. The starter gets all the reps, and the backup gets one or two here. But the starter is the guy they're getting ready to play. And I think in college you've got to be ready to have two guys. And Richardson is a supremely talented guy. As you said, a big guy. Could be a really effective in the running game. And they're going to play him in the opening game. I can promise you that, no matter what the score is. They're going to play him because they want to get him on the field. And that was kind of why they played him in the bowl game, even though they kind of threw up a white flag in the bowl game. They played him in that game and just to get him some playing time in a big game. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic, because, the one thing about Dan Mullen is he's never been a short-leash quarterback. In other words, he never puts a guy in there and he's not playing well. I got to get him out of there. I got to get another guy. All right, he has a bad game. We got to get another starter in there. He's the guy that sticks with the guy that he believes in as the starter. And but you play the other guy, you get him ready so that if an injury happens, you can bring him in. So quarterback is a huge position for this team, and it's a huge position for every team all over the country. As somebody I heard somebody say the other day, the only people that are carry their records with them are the head coach and the quarterback. So you're what is a starter? That's all, you know. Nobody else. Nobody says he's 3-2 as a defensive lineman. Nobody ever says that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You mentioned the running backs, and my goodness, they've got plenty of depth for sure. They're not going to run out of those. Who would you say at this point, or what two would you say are going to carry the bulk of the work right now?
I think Damian Pierce is still going to be their guy. I mean, he was good last year. He was solid. I mean, they didn't open the holes the way they should have. So I think Damian Pierce and Malik Davis will be the two guys. We don't even know if DeMarcus Bowman is going to be able to play next year yet. That hasn't been determined. And then, you know, Lingard apparently had a really good spring. So I think they're going to shuffle him in there the way they did last year, you know, with three guys kind of coming in. And, you know, they still have Naquan Wright who played a lot last year. So it's just going to be a matter of finding the hot hand, kind of going with it. It's kind of like, you know, obviously the best, one of the best seasons, in my opinion, the best season Florida ever had was 1996. And they had Fred Taylor and Terry Jackson and Eli Williams. And I remember being on the floor of the Superdome and asking the running backs coach, Carl Frank, hey, by the way, who's going to start? And he goes, I'm not sure yet. I don't know which one I'm going to go with. But you knew that whoever started, the other guy, other two guys are going to play a lot. And this was a Fred Taylor who should be in the Hall of Fame. But that's kind of the philosophy they're going to take. They're going to keep running them out there until they get a guy who's good, and they're going to try to keep him fresh. But I think Damian Pierce will be the starter.
Right. Well, I think I like that approach. Keep him fresh. Have plenty of backs that you can depend on. Receiver position, Shorter came out as a highly rated guy, but he's got Henderson tied on his behind now. And then you've got Wells and Whittemore. And I tell you, Jacob Copeland could surprise some people this year.
I don't think he'll surprise the Florida staff. They believe in him, and they this is their go-to guy. And this is the guy they've kind of deemed during the spring and you know, and they will in the summer. He'll be the guy that they probably bring to SEC Media Days, assuming there is an SEC Media Days, because they really believe in Jacob Copeland. They think he's certainly came in here with a lot of fanfare. He had some really good games for Florida, but he kind of he was kind of in that second tier behind the other guys. And now he's the lead dog. And I think he's embraced that. And that's going to be a huge factor. But how the other guys come through, and again, the tight end position is one where it's going to be some untested guys a little bit, you know, Kamori Gamble. I think Zipper has got to have a big year. They've got this freshman coming in that I am just hearing rave things about, that he could be, he's not going to be Kyle Pitts, but he could be the closest thing to him if he's ready to play as a freshman. We'll see how long that takes, but I think Florida is going to be okay at wide receiver. And again, they've got a great coach in Billy Gonzalez coaching them, who's done a tremendous job. So I don't worry. They'll score enough points on offense. I'm not worried about that. Can they get much better? They're going to get better on defense. It would be impossible to be as bad as they were on defense. They were historically bad. So they've got to get better on defense. If they do that, they've got a chance. The schedule's not brutal, even with Alabama coming to town. The schedule's at least manageable, so we'll see how they handle it. They aren't playing 10 SEC games, I know that.
You think up front, you're saying defensively, overall, you think they're going to be a much better team. Well, they're going to have to be. I agree with you. They were terrible last year, which is unusual. The previous 2 years, I think they were in every ball game or most every ball game because of their defense. But they were awful last year. But so you feel like overall defensively they're going to be a much improved football team, and it sounds like you like what they're doing up front offensively on the offensive line as well.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is going to have to get better, but, I mean, they've got some good players there. I think, you know, bringing in those two grad transfer defensive tackles helps a lot. You get some beef there. I think Gervon Dexter's ready to have a big year. I mean, excuse me, I said last year, you can watch Gervon Dexter and you know he's going to be a good player. He's just not there now as a true freshman. So it'll take him a while. And apparently he had a big spring. You know, and I like the ends Brent, with Cox and Zach Carter. Especially a guy like Zach Carter who came back and knows what he's got to have a big year. You know, a linebacker with Ventrell Miller. I think they're in good shape. They got a lot of good players. I like their roster, to be honest with you. In fact, I like it a little more than last year. Last year's team was all about the Kyles. And, you know, they had to make a lot of the plays, and then, but they also schemed around to make some other plays. But this year's team, I think, is going to be way more balanced. I think it'll be better on defense and better in the running game. How that translates into wins and losses when you got Alabama in week three, and when you have, obviously you got LSU on the road, which is always a tough game. You got the Georgia game. I mean, there are some tough games. I mean, an improved FSU team, although they're not going to be there yet, but they'll still, you know, have a shot. You know, it's not a ridiculous schedule, but it is. There's still enough potholes there. If you step in them, you're going to twist an ankle.
Yeah, I think that Alabama game, third game, is going to be a real key. Of course, it's good to get Alabama early. Well, my goodness, you talk about attrition.
Yeah, both quarterbacks are going to be in their third start. So that'll be, we'll see how that all goes. So that's you're right. Getting them early before they settled in is a huge factor.
Oh, yeah. When you talk about the quarterback who set every record in the world up there, most productive quarterback they've ever had, most any other team has ever had. Both receivers by that time will be starting in the National Football League. Their running back will be a starter in the National Football League. And they have the offensive coordinator, now the head coach of Texas, and three other coaches have changed. And you just take all that away and say, all right, go get them. That's a lot to lose, Pat. An awful lot to lose.
Yeah, but they lose a lot every year. That's the thing. So they'll still be great, and they'll still be picked probably by a lot of people to win the national championship, and they'll still be picked to win the SEC championship. I know that's coming. So they'll be fine. I'm not worried about Alabama. You know, they'll be good, but it is better to get them early.
Yeah, I agree. Well, listen, I have kept you. Pat, really appreciate it. Can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. Oh, you're always welcome here, and our audience enjoys it when you come on. If we can,
I appreciate you, Jay, and I appreciate all the people out there. Some of my best friends live out there. So thanks so much for having me.